You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of falling in love. Honey. I'm your host, James Marcina, a.k.a. the Grinch Post, a.k.a. the Pick and Troll Maestro, and this is episode 206. On today's show, we're going to talk about Kristaps Porzingis' injuries. We're going to talk about the Knicks' loss to the bootleg, yet intriguing, Orlando Magic. And I'm going to give you guys a pop quiz on some Knicks stats. See how you do. Let's start the show.
Yes!
Oh, no. Oh, no. What's that sound? Oh, no, what's that sound? I know what it is. It's the Kristaps' hurt warning siren. You know how there's an Amber Alert when a child goes missing? Well, not many people know this, but New York City has actually set up an Alabaster Alert. And it goes off every time Kristaps is hurt. Here's what's going on. Kristaps Porzingis, our dear sweet unicorn, missed Wednesday's game against the Orlando Magic with a sprained left ankle that he suffered on his beautiful finger roll to close out the victory over the Hornets the other night. And he also has a contused right elbow. That was the official report. The ankle, no big deal. I'm here to tell you, no big deal. He seemed to be moving fine afterward. I know he said he was in some pain. I'm not worried about that at all. NBA players get little, you know, nicks and bruises and ankle stuff, no big deal. The elbow was described as bursitis, otherwise known as inflammation, by Kristaps Porzingis. And that is apparently something that he has been dealing with for quite some time now. It is his shooting elbow, okay? His right elbow. He said he may need to have a, quote, minor medical procedure. Here's his direct quote on this. When I hit it again, it just swells up and it's sensitive and I can't stretch my arm. It bothers me a little bit, but not that bad. It's always, I have to get the swelling down and then I'll be fine again. But I think once the season's over, I might have to do something about it. I just can't keep going like this every year. So apparently it's not new this year. Now, how worried should you be about this? I'm going to say not very worried. I'm not a doctor. If you are a doctor, please hit me up on Twitter, LockedOnKnicks, or at Gmail, LockedOnKnicks@gmail.com. I'd be curious what you have to say about this, but I am not worried. Elbow inflammation, to the best of my knowledge, has never really derailed any careers that I've heard of, and that's really all I'm concerned about, right? This isn't the Knicks championship season, and while I don't want them to tank, a couple missed games from Kristaps here and there, not very concerning. It's also possible that this was a fairly standard rest of a superstar player. This was the second game of a back-to-back, and NBA teams aren't allowed to say this year that they're resting players for that. They're trying to crack down on that. So, you know, if maybe he's like a little dinged up, but he's basically fine, they give him a rest, they say he's hurt. The good news is the Knicks don't play till Sunday again. They got a couple days off, and that's against the Kings. So he has plenty of time to rest. Interestingly enough, the Kings are currently 2-8. So that's a good opponent to help the Knicks avoid a losing streak, I think. The Knicks aren't at a point where they can overlook anyone. They can't overlook anyone. They ain't that good yet. They got some spark. They got some juice, but they don't have all the juice. They're not that good yet. They can't overlook anyone. But I think it's safe to say that they have a better chance against the Kings than most teams. This will be interesting because in the past, even when the Knicks were good, back in the caveman days, you know, they tended to play down to opponents. That was like sort of a problem with them. So it'll be interesting to see the slightly improved Knicks team if they still play down to opponents. The Kings do seem to be underachieving just a bit. So I thought they'd be better than 2-8 myself. Maybe I'm a fool. You could argue that. So there's a good chance, but I think they're underachieving a bit. So there's a good chance that they could put together like a good performance against the Knicks, come up like, you know, the opposite of regress, return to the mean or whatever. The thing I'm looking forward to there is seeing how our beautiful, sweet baby Frank fares against Speed Demon De'Aaron Fox. Surely the matchup to look out for there. But just to wrap up the Kristaps injury news, are there any other implications you may be wondering? I already told you, don't worry about it. There's one major implication here, and that's that Dwight Howard has officially been added to the enemies list after callously shoving our unicorn on numerous occasions the other night. And it caused Crispy to fall and brace himself in impacting his bursitis. So shame on you, Dwight Howard. More like Dwight Coward. You can't come at the god like that. You're on the injury list. All right, so Kristaps missed the Knicks game against the Magic on Wednesday night. And I think it pretty directly led to a loss. They lost 112-99. I'm going to tell you all about how Kristaps' loss impacted that game. But first, just want to remind you guys, you're listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you hear, head on over to iTunes, rate us 5 stars. It'll help, I promise. Thank you very much. Locked On Knicks. All right, now let's talk about how the Knicks missed Kristaps Porzingis on Wednesday against the Magic. They lost to the Magic 112-99. Let's talk about defense. The Knicks gave up 124.4 points per possession, per 100 possessions, I should say, against the Orlando Magic. That's 6th percentile for all games played this year. So, one of the poorer defensive efforts in the league this year. At least by results, right? Now, when we talk about Kristaps, let's look at some on-off numbers. It's only been, 10-11 games. 11 games now, but 10 with Kristaps. So, small sample size, yes. But in the 10 games that Kristaps played, the opposing team scores 9.3 points per 100 possessions less with Kristaps on the floor. That's 83rd percentile for bigs in the league. So with Kristaps on the floor, the Knicks' defense improves tremendously. Breaking that down a little bit, the Magic shot 76% at the rim on Wednesday. That's 87th percentile for all games played this year. Talking about Kristaps, opponents shoot 3.6% worse at the rim with Porzingis on the floor, and that's 78th percentile for bigs. As a team, the Magic shot 64.4%. That's effective field goal percentage, the one that accounts for three-pointers being worth more than two-pointers. And that would be 96th percentile for all games played this year. So the Magic shot tremendously well. Teams in general shoot 9% worse effective field goal percentage with Porzingis on the floor. That's 97th percentile for bigs. He has a huge impact on the opposing team's shooting percentage. Something the Knicks continue to do well is offensive rebounding. Kristaps hasn't been doing a ton of that, so without him, it didn't really matter. The Knicks killed it on the offensive boards again, gobbling up 41.7% of their misses, and that's 99th percentile for all games played this year. They almost grabbed half of their offensive of their misses on offense. So very impressive, but it wasn't enough to overcome a return to the horrendous turnovers that plagued them earlier on, in which they've done a great job cleaning up in recent games. 24.4%, a quarter of all of their possessions, ended in turnovers. You guessed it, that's first percentile in the league. Worst in the league for all games played, right? Or right at the bottom. You're never going to win if you're turning it over that much. You just can't. When you give up a chance for points on a quarter of your possessions, you cannot win. I like to see how many teams have won while giving up that many turnovers. I bet it's like 3 for the past 1,000 years. That worked out to 23 turnovers total, including a team-high 6 for Jarrett Jack. More on that in a moment. He's been doing a pretty good job, actually, but he came down to earth a bit in this game. Talking about the Kristaps effect, I'm not sure exactly why this happens. Probably because he uses so many possessions so efficiently. But the Knicks turn the ball over 3.4% less with Kristaps Porzingis on the court. and that's in the 92nd percentile for bigs. So he himself uses possessions effectively, and you could order that the Knicks, you could argue that the Knicks as a team just operate more smoothly with their superstar on the court. Not too hard to imagine, right? The offense. Kristaps has been killing it there this year, and without him, they really struggled in the half court. They struggled with him in the half court early in the season, but they've been trending up. Their last game with Kristaps on the court against Charlotte, they scored 117 points per 100 half court possessions. Excuse me. Half court! I'm a little jet lagged from being in the UK. I mentioned that on the previous pod. And I think when I get jet lagged, I start talking like a newsie. When I get tired in general. Anyway. So against the Hornets, the Knicks scored 117 points per 100 half-court possessions. An excellent number. The Warriors lead the league at something like 97 points per 100 half-court possessions. In this past game, they scored 90.4 points per 100 possessions. Interestingly enough, the Knicks score 5.8 points per 100 possessions more with Kristaps on the court. An excellent mark. 75th percentile in the league. So the Knicks struggled against the Magic. No huge surprise there. But they did do a couple of things well. I want to shout out Doug McDermott, who was somehow plus 8 in 30 minutes. He scored 13 points on 5 of 9 shooting, 3 of 4 from 3, with 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and on this night, only 1 turnover. Huge accomplishment. He played competent enough defense. The one knock against him, maybe he could have shot more. More on that in a bit. I also want to shout out Tim Hardaway Jr. He had 26 points on an efficient 11 for 21 shooting, though only 1 for 5 from 3, but he did can all 3 of his free throws. And although he did have 3 turnovers, he managed 11 rebounds. That's pretty gully. And that's also a big development for him. He's been doing more of that lately. If he wants to earn his contract, he can't just score, unless he starts scoring at like a Westbrookian pace or whatever, you know? So he has to learn how to affect the game in other areas. And especially, this is especially important when you're playing a three-point shooting team like the Magic for your guards to get turnovers. Talking about yesterday's game, the Magic shot 28 threes to the Knicks 12. And when you're shooting all those threes, you have long, crazy rebounds, and they need to be corralled by guards. So an excellent job by Tim Hardaway Jr. getting rebounds. Sidebar, only 14% of the Knicks' shots were three-pointers, which is, I thought one, the first percentile was as low as it gets. The Knicks were in the 0th percentile, according to the excellent cleaning the glass, and the percentage of their shots that were threes on Wednesday, and their three-point frequency. They got to run more plays for three. Especially with the mid-range god, Kristaps Porzingis, sitting out. So that's one quibble I might have with Jeff Hornacek. One quibble I don't have with him is his decision to start Beasley in place of Kristaps. I'm okay with that because I think he wanted to keep the bench chemistry going and keep his rotations regular, right? I mean, what else were you going to do? They're probably going to lose anyway, but you don't want to disturb Lance Thomas's place in the rotation. You're not going to throw Kuz in there to start, you know, after being activated for the first time all season. So I don't think Beasley really has a place on the team going forward. But for last night, you know, I'm okay with it. And the bench did a really good job of keeping them in the game. They did a nice job in the first half especially. So you could argue it worked, even though Beasley himself didn't work. But I don't think that's what he was, you know, expecting to happen, if you picked Hornacek's brain about it. Also, I'm fine with not giving like all of the minutes to Billy and Kuz and everyone else. A lot of people wanted that to happen. I saw they're like, Knicks gonna lose anyway. Just throw in all the scrubs, develop them, or the young guys, you know. But the Knicks ain't tanking. They're not gonna just throw away games because Kristaps is gone. That's a loser's mentality, bruh. And that's not what they're trying to develop here. They're trying to develop a culture where everyone kicks their own ass up and down the court every game and tries their hardest. It's a tricky balancing act because you do got to develop guys, even if that means that you don't play as well in the interim. I get that, you know. But I think Hornacek is doing a fine job there of balancing everything. I mean, we saw Billy come in And he looks pretty good on offense, as he kind of always does, but he just did not look good on defense. He looked flat-footed. He looked immobile. And if he's not bringing superior defense, he has no chance of outplaying Kanter or Kyle O'Quinn right now. And he's showing that Hornacek made the right decision to give those guys spots in the rotation. In just a minute, I'm going to quiz you guys on some Knicks statistics. But first, just wanted to let you guys know, if you like Locked On Knicks, we're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. There's a podcast for every team in the NBA and the NHL. So if you follow any other team in those two sports, check out their equivalent on the Locked On Podcast Network. Pop quiz time! Gonna test you guys, see how you're doing. Who has the highest points per shot attempt on the Knicks? I'll give you like a couple seconds. I won't do that for the other questions. I started annoying myself by the end of that, so I do apologize. Number one, who has the highest points per shot attempt on the Knicks? Doug McDermott, 1.386 points per shot attempt. That's 96th percentile for wings. Number two, I'm going to give you the top five, is Enes Kanter with 1.333 points per shot attempt. That's 92nd percentile for bigs. So both guys are doing a great job of only shooting shots that they have a business shooting. Excellent job, you two. Kyle O'Quinn, our man Cock, he's scoring 1.273 points per shot attempt. That's 78th percentile for bigs. Well done, Kyle. Our boy Kristaps Porzingis coming in fourth at 1.230 points per shot attempt. That's 70th percentile for bigs. And some people might be wondering, wait, is he really a superstar if he's fourth on the Knicks on points per shot attempt? But the thing is, he has the highest usage rate in the league. He's right up at the top. I haven't looked at the numbers as of the recording of this podcast. But when you have a huge usage percentage like that, you are going to be slightly less efficient than someone like a Doug McDermott or like an Enes Kanter who can pick their spots. When someone's not using a lot of shots, they better be shooting shots that are very high percentage. And those guys are doing a great job of that. And Kristaps is doing a great job of generating good looks for himself over and over and over and over again. It drops off pretty steeply after that. Lance Thomas, number five, 1.037 points per shot attempt. That's 45th percentile for forwards. Question number two. How many questions do we got? Five questions. Question number two. Is Kyle O'Quinn killing it in the passing game? I'll give you 2 seconds to think about this. One Mississippi, two Mississippi. We need like a New York equivalent. One Staten Island. That's disgusting. Let's go with it. One Staten Island, two Staten Island. The answer is yes. He has a 16.89% assist rate, which is 92nd percentile for bigs. What that means is, of all the possessions he finishes, that's either with a shot, a turnover, or an assist, of all the possessions he finishes, 16.89% of them are assists. He has a 0.88 assist to usage rate. So what they do is they take your assist rate and they try to account for the fact that higher usage guys have more assist opportunities. So you take your assist rate and you divide it by your usage rate. And he's got a 0.88 assist to usage rate. His usage rate's 19.2. That's 93rd percentile for bigs. If you're not using a ton of possessions, you shouldn't be expected to assist on a ton of possessions. You know what I'm saying? So that's what this tries to account for. Question number three. Is Frank Ntilikina killing it as an assist man? One Staten Island, two Staten Island. The answer, my friends, is yes. Let's break it down. He's 41st among guards, averaging 4.5 assists per game. So you're like, that's not that great. But he's only playing 19.5 minutes per game. Let's dig deeper. His assist rate, which is, you know, eliminates the minutes per game issue, because it's like what percentage of possessions is he assisting on while he's out there. His assist rate is 29.6%. 29.6% of his teammates' shots are assisted by him while he's out there. And that's 50th percentile among point guards. All right, we're getting better. His usage rate, however, is low.
compared to that assist rate. It's 21.6. When he's on the court, he uses a possession 21.6% of the time. That's shooting, turnovers, or assists. So 29.6 assist rate divided by 21.6 usage rate equals a 1.37 assist to usage rate, which is 73rd percentile among point guards. He's a rookie. He's only 19. Nice. Question number four. Is Jarrett Jack doing a tremendous job of protecting the ball before last night? The answer was yes. I came up with these statistics yesterday, trying to do a little bit of prep. But let's talk about this. Before yesterday, 10.3% of the possessions that Jarrett Jack uses, those are shots, assists, or turnovers, were turnovers. That was 94th percentile for point guards. I think he had something like 8 assists on the entire season heading into Wednesday's game against the Magic. So you could really see, look at last night, Wednesday night, as a regression and not necessarily a cause for like immense alarm. I think Jarrett Jack overall still doing an excellent job of protecting the ball. I think you'll see him bounce back against the Kings. We'll see about that. Question number five, our final pop quiz question. Is Frank Ntilikina a golden god on defense? 1 Staten Island, 2 Staten Island. The answer, my friends, is yes. Here's a stat to back that up. He's second in the league in deflections per 36 minutes of anyone who's played 5 games or more. If you let in people who play like 1 or 2 games, there's like one asshole who deflected like 9 shots in a game. He's not going to keep that up. He's second in the league in deflections per 36 of anyone who's played 5 games or more. 4.6 deflections per 36. Second only to Paul George's 5 deflections per 36. I'm going to close out today's pod by giving a quick update on Scott Perry. Still trying to figure out whether or not he's good. I'm leaning towards yes. Here's how he handled the Giannis Porzingis comments from the other day. He said he would not comment on the Giannis Porzingis comments from the other day about the Knicks needing to keep Crispy happy. Here's the direct quote. We're looking forward and ahead. The time to talk about contract extensions, that's far. We're living in today. Standing on the edge of tomorrow. Today, today, today. He did not start singing Saved by the Bell, the College Years theme song. That was me, by the way. Back to the quote. KP is playing some very good basketball right now. He's playing well and happy with the team. We'll deal with all that stuff later, but no comment in terms of what was said by Giannis because I really don't know what he meant. How did he handle this situation, you're asking? I answer perfectly. Platitudes are the only thing that you should offer in a situation like this. Nothing can be gained from trying to address these points in public. That's something that Phil may have failed at if he were still here, but not our boy Dr. John Scott Perry. All right, that's it for me today. Thank you guys so much for listening. A reminder, I'm in the UK for work through next Wednesday, unfortunately, so we're going to still have a little bit of a weird schedule. Bear with me. I'm doing these whenever I get the time. You know what I mean? I'm getting up early and watching replays of games. I'm doing it for you because I love you guys. Because I love Locked On Knicks. I hope you guys do too. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes. Talk to you tomorrow.